Yes.
Well, coming up on Speak Up.
When Lisa was born, I was still going to school. I would go to school, and then I got pregnant with my third child. Mm-hmm. So I had three kids.
So she was
on
your
the
second.
Screen, going to school.
Wow.
Been there, done that. I just don't know.
And then Lisa was diagnosed, and I could do it for a while, but like it was almost.
It all happens right now.
I could not do it anymore.
81% of parents don't think
dating
violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's why we have to control.
Women are the major providers of caregiving in the world. For every 10 women, 7 are caregivers. Although men also provide assistance, female caregivers may spend much more time providing care than male caregivers do. How does this impact the life of a woman? Who is going to speak up on this issue? This is our topic today.
Well, that's what I watched my mom do my entire life.
Really?
When we were little, she took care of our grandmother. My grandmother lived with us for 11 and a half years. From like bedridden, stroke, various things like that. So my sister and I grew up learning what a Foley catheter was, learning how to use a G-tube to feed her, to clean it, to change, you know, to make sure all of that stuff was taken care of and that she had, our grandmother rather, had the best quality of life. And then more recently, so our grandmother passed in 96, right? So then between 96 and about 2010, mom didn't have to take care of any, elderly person until my uncle got sick.
So not only she had you guys,
that's
she took
right.
care of the grandmother.
That's right.
And then
years between, and then uncle.
Now may I ask,
that's not
were you like, were your mom the eldest in the family? That's why she ended up taking care
so
of
my mom
the
isn't
siblings
the
or el- the
she's one of the eldest.
Okay.
It just so happened because mom's a nurse and stuff. So she just said okay.
She fell into it.
I mean, there were others who were able to, but you can't ship the person between everybody. So, you know, she just said, okay, you know, she'll live with me and what have you, and others supported. But then when it came to my uncle, because my mom and my uncle lived in the same state or whatever, it kind of happened where she, too, was his caretaker.
Was this back in Jamaica? Was it here in the U.S.
Right
already?
Here in the U.S.
So, although there are cultural issues, sounds like there are a lot of people here that still are responsible, and they have these people at home.
Did you feel at any point that it was unfair that you
had to pitch in? Never. Not one day.
As a kid.
Mm-hmm. Not one day did we ever say it's not fair, right? The truth is, my grandmother birthed 11 children, right?
Okay.
So somebody should feel responsible, and all of my uncles and aunts felt the responsibility. Yes, that is our mother. And then as a grandchild, I said, yes, absolutely. Why wouldn't we take care of someone who has taken care of
because,
so many?
Because, one generation comes after the other and takes care of
And then culturally, that's how we were raised.
Right.
You know, my family's Jamaican, and we were raised like that.
You can relate to that.
I can relate to that, because even like back in the Philippines, it's actually a given when you're the eldest in the family, you will take care of your parents.
Yeah.
But like even so, when you're moving here to the U.S., I still have that mentality. And in fact, I'm actually petitioning my parents and my husband's
to move here.
Yes, it's going to be.
So it can be closer to them.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting dynamic.
We're talking about doing that with parents, but there are many parents that also may be taking care of a special needs child along sometimes with that responsibility of
the sandwich,
husband and
sandwich generation, they call it, right?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they
explain that.
Yeah, well, it's basically your parents are starting
getting old.
So you take care of them, but then you have children and that you have to bring up. So you're stuck in the middle and you're doing this.
Add that to if you have a child with a special need. It's not just a regular child where you, have other people that could take care of. Sometimes you need to give even more time for a child like that. So it really adds and changes a woman's life in a huge way.
I saw my mom's life change more in actually both when it was my grandmother and my uncle, but probably more so with my uncle because now she was an older person herself, right? I would never dare say my mom's age, here. She would come for me. But nevertheless, though my uncle didn't live with her in the house, he was in a nursing home. The thing was, even when your loved one is in a nursing home, now you're in that nursing home because you're always
there. You're spending
there.
Time there.
You spend right. all the
was
time there.
Was she working
there.
Outside the home? Did she have a job?
Mom was a registered nurse.
So she was also working outside the home
well,
in between.
Retired by the time she was looking after uncle.
Okay.
But with my grandmother, full-time registered nurse. Remember, she had kids.
Now imagine, did she have time for herself?
No. Mm.
Could she go and...
No.
Gotcha, you mentioned...
No.
Do fun things?
No.
You mentioned taking care of your children with special needs. I have had several patients with... that the parent was the primary caregiver, and kids who have been either paralyzed with accidents, so they were bedbound for their entire life, and here mm-hmm. you have an elderly parent mm-hmm. taking care of this adult child. They have mm-hmm. been doing this for a lifespan.
It is your life in many cases.
And they are sick. You can tell. You know, I have told. Patient parent, you need care. You know, she was always deem at us, and she was.
And this is what the research is showing, that many caregivers,
need
if
care.
They are not careful,
neglect
you know,
themselves.
There are an increased risk for some chronic diseases. They don't go to get themselves checked.
Right.
You know, find time to do the things that will preserve their health.
But
then this is really critical.
It's easy for us to say that you know you have to take care, but then. Like, for me, I would feel the guilt if I cannot take care of my parents. Like, I don't know how to, like, rethink and not just, oh, okay, I'm going to put my parents in a nursing home. No, they have to live with me.
Yes, because I agree.
I will have, I will carry that
you
guilt
came
with
from,
me.
You grew up with that being valued in your culture.
The thing isn't about where you're going to put them or whatever. So with my grandmother, like I said, grandmother lived with us. By the time it came to my uncle, my mom was too old to have another person to take care of because we would have buried both of them.
Yeah. Right. Now, somebody, Erica, and you're from
you have to take care of yourself
here.
In order to take care of someone
that's
else.
That's true. So that comes first. So, Erica, that's oftentimes what people think in this culture in North America.
Yeah.
You need to take care of yourself, but you can also take care of your parents.
Absolutely.
In different ways without them living with you sometimes.
Sure. And I think that's probably more the norm here is that you still feel responsible, but they may not live with you. That's probably not the norm here in the U.S. You would put them somewhere where you know they're going to, you hope.
They'll be well cared for.
They're going to be well cared for, and you check in and all of that. But I can tell you, my parents wouldn't allow me to do
allow
if,
you.
If one passed and the other one needed help, I can tell you right now, my mother would not allow me to have her move in with me and take care of her all the time.
Well, evidently, it's not gonna happen. It's a cultural approach, and there are so many variables involved into this. But whatever, and it comes down to choices, too. So, but the thing is, if you come down to the choice of I am going to be the caregiver, how do you cope with it all?
Yeah, that's a big question.
That's
now, let me tell you, I have
friend
who, like many moms, dreamed about having a child, prayed about it. Mm-hmm. With a precious smile, Lisa walked, and with much energy, she made loud sounds, but seemed to be that she was in her own world. She couldn't really communicate very clearly in words, you know, with her sister or play with her sister. Layla cared for Lisa, devoted a lot of time for Lisa. And we could see that she was present with her at every moment when she was in school, when she was learning how to communicate, how to write. Mm-hmm. As a mom, you know, she really gave of her time and she was joyful to see her graduating.
Mm-hmm.
So here you see a mom who is actually going with her child every day, spending a whole lot of time with her. And you can imagine how that can impact the life of somebody
that. I can see in the video that she had other children, too.
She had two more kids. So guess what? Layla's here with us today, and we will be able to ask her what this wonderful opportunity to have a child like Lisa, how that impacted your life. Thank you for being here and to speaking about this, Layla. It's not very easy sometimes to talk about this issue. But how has your life with Lisa really been impacted? Has it turned into something you never dreamed of?
It's a pleasure to be here. And I think autism didn't change my life. It created a whole new life for me.
Oh.
And I'm very passionate about it. I've learned so much through this journey. Mm-hmm. And it's never easy when you get a diagnosis. And I think the first question is why?
Why is this happening to me? As I said, many moms pray, I want a perfect child. Please, a healthy child.
But you had a beautiful child, but differently than what perhaps you were imagining.
Yeah, no, no one, you know, I never dreamed that that would ever happen to me. It may happen to other people, not to me. So I was not prepared, yeah. And I was angry with God. Ah. I was like, why? You know, I'm a good person. I'm following you. I love you. Why? This is happening.
This is beautiful. But see, I, sorry to interrupt you. We want to go to a break. I want to hear more of what you came about after you questioned God like that. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We're speaking up today about caretaking. And Leila Valado, mother of a special needs autistic child, is here to talk about her experience. Leila, I had to break you when you're talking about this questioning. Why, God? I have been a good person. Why did this happen to me? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it was a very dark time in my life, you know. And I said, I don't want to talk to you, God. I don't want to hear what you have to say. If you're going to allow this happen, well, I can do it by myself.
Oh, and, okay. Yeah, I'll fix it.
I was mad.
You created a problem.
I was mad. Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, for the first time in my life, I think I never, ever been so honest with God, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And and it passed. I don't remember how much time it passed, but I humbly came back and I said, can you help me? Yeah. Because I'm worried that it's worse, you know? And and for the first time in my life, I started learning what surrender means because it was beyond
you couldn't do it alone.
What I could do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. It was something bigger than myself.
Wow.
And then I start asking, now what? Mm-hmm. What are we're going to do together? How are you going to help me through this? How are you going to give me the wisdom and the strength and the power and the courage? Because I know you will.
Yeah.
And I never, ever since ask why anymore. And it doesn't really matter to me. What matters that I know that he's with me. He has blessed me beyond measure. It has been the most amazing experience of my
life.
That
is powerful. That is
journey.
Powerful. Just
and,
to hear.
And I know this is my calling. I know this is my purpose.
To be
in
a
life.
Mom, to be a mother for this. So let me ask you this. How did God help you in a practical sense to be able to be the mother that you are to Lisa? I mean, there must be things that he placed people or what was helpful that he provided for you that really helped you to do that task?
He provided every area you can imagine, bringing people to my life at the right time, bringing resources because it's not cheap to raise a child with special needs.
I can imagine. Yeah.
A study made that says that a family with special needs spend about $2 million.
Wow.
I said, I don't have
I'm not a millionaire.
I don't know how, you know, in the lifespan, you know, because it's a very cost to, you know, not only educate, but provide the therapies and, you know, medical issues that may come around. But it was so clear to me seeing how God will operate. Okay, I need this. And he would answer. The first thing was, you know, what kind of therapy to do?
Uh-huh.
And I ended up reading a book. Thank goodness I was able to read in English. There was not a lot of resources.
Because that's right. You had moved to
Brazil.
This country. You're originally from
Brazil. Yeah, Lisa, you know, she was born in Brazil in a very small town. And there was anyone that would talk about autism, no one ever heard about it.
Wow.
No one knew about it. And that was the hard thing for me. What to do, you know,
yeah,
you have a diagnosis, but what's next? And one would tell you to do this, the other one would
don't do that.
The opposite.
Right. Yeah.
And I had to rely on God to guide me. And I said, please.
So he brought you here to a place where there's tons of
resources.
We are blessed.
Right.
We don't realize many resources. There are many parts of the world, like where you were talking about, where there are no resources. And here you are. We saw in the video that you were with her in many of those moments. She was able to go to school and everything. Did you have to give up something?
I was going to ask, like, how, in relation to that question, like, how did it affect the other kids and the dynamics in the family? Did you have to give up?
Because you have two other
children.
Right, yes.
Well, when I... when Lisa was born, I was still going to school. I would go to school, and then I got pregnant with my third child. Mm-hmm. So I had three kids.
So she was
under
your second.
Three, going to school.
Wow.
Been there, done that. I got to know.
And then Lisa was diagnosed, and I could do it for a while, but like it was almost a semester before I graduated, I could not do it anymore. I feel like I failed the
so
class.
You have to,
so I give up. Oh, I knew school. I said, I cannot do. I need to focus what is important, and I decided to, you know, focus on
put things in perspective. And,
and Lisa. But yeah, that question is a very good question because I never really worried about Lisa's future. You know, that's the question a lot of parents with special needs.
Yeah,
you know, if I die, well, who are they gonna take care of them? Mm-hmm. I never really had because when I decided to trust God, I know she's not mine. She's his.
He will take care of her.
Right. That's not powerful. My job to worry. My job is to trust. Mm-hmm. But I always worry about my other kids because, undisputable, the attention that was given to Lisa,
it was much
higher
right.
than I could give to the other. Lisa was hyperactive. Mm-hmm. We lost her so many times because she would like,
she's
where is she?
She's
where
no
she?
Longer
where
here.
Is she? It was like, was this constantly fear of what she's doing, if she run away, you know, we had locks on the top of the doors. We have to keep... So it's impossible to say that I gave the same
attention to the other kids. Yeah, Lisa, I have this question, which is very personal. How did this affect your marriage?
I know that 85% of marriage, when there's a special need kids, ended up in divorce. Mm, yeah. It was hard. But I think... God's mercies. I don't know what else to tell you.
Did it bring you together even more? Because, like you say, for some people, maybe it separates because
it can break you or it can build you. I think we found a way to get closer. We needed each other. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do it, you know,
without.
I could never imagine because I was not working, you know, not only financially but emotionally. You know, I needed. His help and his support. And I'm very grateful because he never really put pressure for me to have to get a job or have to work. He allowed me to follow this path
to focus on her,
to help her, to educate myself. Because autism, like you're a parent, you learn about raising a child, you prepare for this child. It's like you're planning a trip for a country.
Yeah. Right.
But when you get a special need kids,
it's like it's a different country.
And
a different map.
You have to learn the language. You have to learn the laws of the city, the resources of the city, how to manage the city, the country. Wow. But and that's all I have to learn. You know, it's not only about autism, but about the laws that would give her the resources to.
So you spend a lot of time doing that.
Absolutely.
To be able to do. Let me ask you a question. Did you find time for yourself? Because this is a big issue when you have somebody like that, you know, that needs your attention constantly and you want to give your attention. Did you feel guilty if you said, oh, maybe I should go and spend time exercising or spend time, you know, shopping?
Or doing nothing.
Or did you, was it easy for you to say, let me take
down,
a break?
Right. Mm-hmm.
How did you manage that?
No, I had no problem taking a break.
That's good.
Did you have people that helped you?
My husband, and in Brazil was easier because we had help
family.
In the house and family. Mm-hmm. But we moved here. I didn't know a soul. I didn't know anyone.
Wow.
I had no
You're
family.
In a new country.
No, And I told Marcel, once a week, I need an evening off.
So you set that boundary from the beginning.
That you set that standard so you wouldn't burn out.
I would go get a book and go in the library. I would go eat something. And later on, when I start having friends, and I would meet a friend, I would go for a walk. But I always knew that was important for me to be well.
That, I think, so many people don't embrace that.
Exactly. You embrace the fact that you needed that time, and you don't. You're not going to feel guilty for the fact that you need this time for yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you know, when you do that, you're better able to be an even better caregiver to her and to model to her too.
Yeah.
And in many ways, what balance is like. And I've seen she probably also because. because Lisa loves exercise.
Yes.
The picture you guys saw, you know, we were biking, the three of us. Oh, she does it all. Yeah. And it's so nice to see that because of you being there and being able to be such a great caregiver, you saw the result. I mean, she's gone through school. She's doing so well. And we're so grateful you were here to share. Thank you so much, Layla, for coming, having the courage to talk about and to raise this issue. We are speaking up about this because it's so incredibly important. For more information, visit our website where you will be able to download your Speak Up notes on caretaking to share with your friends. But there's more to come. Don't go away. Right after the break, we'll be back. We're speaking up today about caretaking. So, ladies, wasn't that an incredible conversation?
It's actually very inspiring.
Yeah. What did you take out of it?
It's just incredible. I learned that, you know, as a caretaker, and especially in my part when I'm going to take care of my parents eventually when they get older, it's good to know that you have to recognize that you have to set a time for yourself. But for me, with me and my husband, we have to set time for ourselves, by ourselves, mm-hmm. especially if they're, because it's important that you have to take care of yourself as well, because how can you take care of them when you're tired and exhausted?
Yeah, so not feeling guilty.
Not feeling guilty.
Like she said, no, yes. I told my husband, I thought that was really great. Mm-hmm. Say, no, I need this time for myself. And this is very important because the research does show that those that do not do that, that's when the increase for health problems.
I'm happy that she knew that it was okay, because even when we asked her, her response was like, of course. She knew that it's absolutely all right.
She seemed to have a lot of resilience. And she seems to be an a can-do type of person, mm-hmm. and she acted on it. Mm-hmm. And even though it wasn't easy, she said that, you know, once she embraced her spiritual need and brought God into it to be her partner, mm-hmm. she kind of had a boost.
Now, if you look at ourselves, like, and as you said, Llewellyn, you know, about your parents, but sometimes we have the tendency, and maybe, you know, eventually I will go through this, to say, if I was in her situation, it's easy for us to get enwrapped with the identity of a mm-hmm. caretaker, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so we forget who we are because mm-hmm. this is who we are. We are the mother of this person, or we are the daughter of this person. And we live for this, like Novella, you said about your mom. Mm-hmm. So having to be careful there, not to lose your identity only as that, you know?
Right,
but
right.
really, you are also a wife. Mm-hmm. And that way, divorce will be less likely if you remember that. I'm mm-hmm. also a professional. In some cases, you can do that.
One thing I liked is that she's married, and so her husband was fully on board with it.
That's right.
He wasn't hands off. You know, I mean, maybe she did certain parts that
really helped.
But he really did his portion, you know, in supporting the whole entire situation.
Right.
So those of you husbands that are watching, perhaps, make sure that you are supportive of your wife, right?
It's not about helping. It's about doing your part to share. Because it's your part to share.
And it's also nice that she came out here, so that I think by doing that, she can help other parents out mm-hmm. there who are in the same situation to help create
she had
awareness.
The courage to see. Because something that's important and we saw in the conversation is that when you come to a new country, mm-hmm. you don't know anyone, but there were people
isolated and alone.
I mean, I came here, I knew very few people too. Mm-hmm. If I had to deal with the same kind of issue that she was dealing with,
hard.
Who would be helpful? Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to find the resources, the social support mm-hmm. that is there for you is very
I imagine
key.
It'd be helpful to reach out to people, maybe a group that already exists of like-minded mm-hmm. individuals who are dealing with that same thing.
That is
to share what you're going through every day.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't relate.
And then you learn what methods and tools
what's
and ways
and what's
they
not.
Use and what exactly.
Right. You have to learn the new language. You know, a new map to get you to that mm-hmm. destination.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is something that we have to look for the big principles of the whole. I was very impressed at how God really was with her.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if we look at scriptures, God speaks to us in that way. So, Josara, do you have a text that speaks to us on this?
Yeah, and I too was impressed with the fact that she, it was at this time that she didn't want nothing to do with God, that she really
surrendered.
She thought she couldn't do it alone.
There was no way out. So that remind me of this verse that Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
Oh, I love that text. Yes.
Yeah. They will soar on wings like eagles. Ooh. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Mm-hmm. It's a huge promise.
This is beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that promise. We hope our conversation today was beneficial to you. Remember to visit our website for more resources and to download your Speak Up notes on this topic. Give us a call. Our prayer partners are there, available, waiting to pray with you. And we will see you next time to speak up on issues that matter for your whole health and your happiness.